First, let's take a look at our headlines.
International Book Fair gets underway in Havana.
Palestinian ambassador to Cuba rejects Donald Trump's deal of the century.
Nicolas Maduro says U.S. does not appoint presidents in Venezuela.
Israeli troops kill Palestinian teenager in West Bank protests.
And now the news in detail.
The 29th International Book Fair was inaugurated this Thursday at the San Carlos de la Cabaña Fortress here in Havana. Heading the ceremony was Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel, the President of the National Assembly of People's Power, Esteban Lasso Hernández, and Chuang Thi May, member of the Political Bureau and the Secretariat of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Vietnam. Vietnam is this year's guest of honor at the cultural event. With an artistic gala and the presence of members of the delegation of the Asian nation, as well as other leaders of the party and the Cuban government, the 29th edition of the book fair was officially launched. The 29th International Book Fair will pay homage to the work of recently deceased Cuban essayist Ana Cairo, National Prize in Social Sciences, and also to playwright Eugenio Hernández, the recipient of the National Theatre Prize in 2005.
The people of Palestine do not accept the loss of their national rights. The ambassador of the State of Palestine in Cuba, Akram Sahan, told media representatives in Havana. Regarding the so-called deal of the century presented by President Donald Trump last week, diplomats said that the proposal seeks to annul their national identity. The U.S. president treats Palestine as if it were a matter of business, trying to sell our occupied land to the Israeli government. The diplomat added that Palestine aspires to be an independent and sovereign state, to a just and lasting peace in the Middle East, and that is why it strongly rejects the agreement between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, made with Palestine excluded. The ambassador stressed that his people, the Oslo Agreement, is now null and void. The 1993 Oslo Agreement was signed by Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Palestine Liberation Organization President Yasser Arafat in the presence of U.S. President Bill Clinton. Its intention was to provide a foundation for a permanent solution to the conflict.
Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro has reminded Donald Trump that the President of Venezuela is chosen by the Venezuelan people and not the United States. Maduro said in Venezuela, presidents are not appointed by the U.S. President. The people choose them through elections. His statements were a reaction to the threats made by Trump during his State of the Union speech on Tuesday, when he ignored the decision of the Bolivarian people and referred to Juan Guaido as the new president of the South American nation. In his response to the U.S. president's statements, Maduro also rejected his foreign policy based on crushing Venezuela and reaffirmed that the Bolivarian nation continues to work for its development. Also in Caracas, Venezuelan Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza responded to Guaido's appearance at the State of the Union address delivered by Donald Trump and to Trump's White House invitation to the discredited opposition leader. The Venezuelan top diplomat said, "The American ruler, in a delirious and arrogant speech in which he seemed to resurrect the already obsolete manifest destiny, reiterated his contempt for peace, for international law, for life, and especially his contempt for the sovereignty of Venezuela."
In the Israeli-occupied West Bank, Israeli troops shot dead a 17-year-old Palestinian teenager during a protest in the city of Hebron against President Donald Trump's Middle East plan. Mohammed al-Haddad is the first Palestinian killed in demonstrations that erupted after Trump unveiled his plan last week. Under the plan, drafted by Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, without any input from Palestinians, Israel would gain sovereignty over large areas of the occupied West Bank. Jerusalem would be under total Israeli control, and all Jewish settlers in the occupied territory would be allowed to remain in their homes.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC. Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's go back over now to our news with Abel Vasquez and Lena Valverde.
Cuban Deputy Prime Minister and Head of Economy and Planning Alejandro Gil Fernandez said on Thursday that measures for the sale of merchandise in the stores of freely convertible currency have had good results. Speaking on national television, Gil said, "This is an initiative that benefits all the people, regardless of the fact that not everyone can buy the products in the store. With the foreign currency that is taken in, which is used to support Cuban production of such products, the population in general benefits," he said. Gil Fernandez said that the first steps are being taken for the participation of the national industry as suppliers. The new measures announced during the program included the expansion of some of the high-end electrical appliances and electronic devices that will be available in the hard currency stores.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel called in Havana on Thursday for the use of renewable energy. During the annual review of the Ministry of Energy and Mines, the president stated that the ministry should lead the use of renewable energy. Cuba plans to generate 24% of its electricity from clean energy sources by the year 2030. To that end, the use of sugarcane biomass is being promoted, as well as the installation of solar panels, wind-powered energy, and small hydroelectric plants. During the meeting, Prime Minister Manuel Marrero called for a review of the problems and obstacles the sector faces. For his part, the Director General of Cuba Petroleum, CUPET, Juan Torres, reported on the drilling and exploitation of wells in 2019, as well as the investments made.
The World Health Organization is calling on countries not to impose medically unnecessary restrictions as the coronavirus spreads, warning these moves can fuel racism without improving public health. Director General Tedros Adhanom said, "We reiterate our call to all countries not to impose restrictions inconsistent with the international health regulations. Such restrictions can have the effect of increasing fear and stigma with little public health benefits. The virus death toll has reached over 500 people, nearly all of them in China, with nearly 25,000 people infected worldwide. The virus also has unleashed a wave of anti-Chinese racism and xenophobia."
From 2013 to 2019, more than 200 people have been either murdered or abused and sexually assaulted after the U.S. deported them back to El Salvador. The deportations continue under U.S. President Donald Trump, which has a policy of crackdown on so-called illegal aliens. The Human Rights Watch has documented 138 cases of murder as well as 70 cases of abuse or sexual assault so far, according to a report released this week. Upon deportation, the victims were exposed to gang members, police forces, soldiers, death squads, and their own former partners. Human Rights Watch has voiced its deep concerns over the latest anti-immigration bill in the United States. In many cases, the U.S. is putting Salvadorans in harm's way in circumstances where it knows or should know that harm is likely, said Human Rights Watch. No government, UN agency, or non-governmental organization has systematically monitored what happens to deported persons once back in El Salvador. This report begins to fill that gap. The human rights group further detailed three cases to illustrate the range of harms inflicted on the Salvadorans, about 1.2 million of whom are non-citizens in the United States.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is in Venezuela on the third leg of his Latin American tour. Before heading to Caracas, Lavrov met with Mexican Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard to strengthen trade, political, and diplomatic relations between the two nations. The two ministers addressed crucial issues in the economy and trade, such as Russia's cooperation in strengthening the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC. "It has been a very productive visit. we reached an agreement on cultural centers, the peaceful use of outer space, links with police agencies for the fight against terrorism, and we also discussed the introduction of a visa-free regime for our citizens, said the Russian foreign minister. During the visit, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador was invited by Moscow to attend the great event in May that will commemorate the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II.
Iranian President Hassan Rouhani says the Americans did all in their power to bring Iran to its knees, but they failed to achieve that goal thanks to the nation's strong unity and vigilance. Speaking at a cabinet meeting in Tehran on Wednesday, Rouhani described national unity as well as trust between the people and the ruling establishment as the keys to resolving problems and withstanding enmities. The Americans have done their utmost to pressure the Iranian nation over the past 2 years, but have failed, thanks to our people's steadfastness and unity, he added. The Iranian chief executive also noted that the White House sought in vain to get its European allies support its line in dealing with the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. The Iranian president asked, why has the U.S. even failed in dragging its allies along? The reason must be sought in the vigilance, awareness, resistance, and withstanding of our great nation.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
International Book Fair gets underway in Havana.
Palestinian ambassador to Cuba rejects Donald Trump's deal of the century.
Nicolas Maduro says U.S. does not appoint presidents in Venezuela.
Israeli troops kill Palestinian teenager in West Bank protests.